welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Martin Stringer.
Big round of applause for Martin.
Thank you. Thank you. Can, is this all right? Is it working? Brilliant. Thank you. Can I just give you a shovel back, Paul? I nearly fell in the hole getting up here. Now then, when God starts speaking to you, we've been here. When I came up here, I'll try and do a potted version of what's happening. You can ask us in more detail, you know, over the next weeks, because God has put something on my heart to bring you. I wasn't expecting this. When I came up to Yorkshire 10 years ago now, I knew I was coming again. Same sort of thing happened. There was this sort of transition period of being withdrawn from the church I was in and me thinking, what on earth is going on here? I just don't feel a part of this. And that pattern has emerged here over probably the last year for both of us. And I thought, what's God doing here? What's going on? And we've just sort of sought just to be faithful and wait and walk with God and just stay under the ministry of what God's saying here in this church. But bit by bit by bit, it's sort of this same thing. I've come into meetings and met with the Lord and yet thought, somehow I'm not quite a part of this, God. What are you doing? Anyway, must have been the same time as Pastor Paul heard, probably this June, somewhere like that, June, July time. Out of the blue, I was standing next to our bed in the bedroom, and I don't know what else. Claire wasn't there, actually, so she must have been downstairs or something. God suddenly said to me, would you move to Scotland and look after Bill? What? And I thought, well, that has to be God, because it just came like that, and it just transcended and blew away everything else, whatever else I was thinking about. So I said, yes, Lord. Claire then reminded me, you know, we talked about this some time later on, actually, then reminded me that one Sunday morning here, around that time, Pastor Paul had a prophetic word based on Isaiah's call. Here I am, send me. And you sung a prophetic song. Do you remember it? Here I am, send me. And God just really hit me standing there. I had an amazing encounter with God. And the same thing had happened about 40 years before that same scripture. I thought, all right, God, what are you doing? Still no clearer. Hadn't got a clue. So anyway, I forgot it. I just, you know, like you do, God speaks to you and you sort of, you don't understand it, so you almost sort of forget it, don't you? You don't take too much notice. You just put it in there somewhere. It's stored. So anyway, we went to Faith Camp, as you know, end of July. Then, haven't been down there more than 3 days, I think. And I have to say, the worship here was awesome this morning. I don't know what it was like at Faith Camp, but I hope it was as good as this morning. We've missed that, haven't we? Oh, sorry, it's a bit emotional. Anyway, Claire's dad, we found out he'd had a stroke, so off we went up to Scotland. You know, left everything, and thank you so much, you guys, who packed up our tent and put stuff away. You are a blessing. You really are. You're just amazing. That's what family is, isn't it? People say, don't worry about your stuff. We'll take care of it. And they did, you know. I can trust you guys with my lives. We really can. That's why we're still here at the moment. So off we went up to Scotland. We get up there and God starts speaking again. And I thought, oh, I remember. And I suddenly remembered this word. I think I shared it with you in the tent, didn't I, before we went, that God had said this word. I shared it at some point with Claire and she said, like most wives do to our husbands, you never told me that. How many wives? No, I won't go there. No, I won't go there. No. After all the other things we've had this morning, we might have a row. We have a lot of pastoral issues, Chris, on our hands. So I won't go there. Yeah, that's it, marriage and pay, yeah. Go and see Brian. Oh, by the way, Brian, you've got the anointing I had when I first came to Scarborough, when we first, the previous church to this, and then sort of a bit subsequent to this one. C. Martin, you've now got the C. anointing, which is now C. Brian, okay? So I'd gladly give it to you, brother. You can have it. Okay. So if you've got any questions, C. Brian, okay? Anyway, we'll move on from that. Up we went to Scotland, and sure enough, There was Claire's dad in obviously not in a good place because he'd had this stroke, bless him. And so we spent time with him. We got him sorted. He hadn't seen a doctor or anything. We found out at Faith Camp he didn't know what had happened. So we said, you must go and see a doctor. So we did. Doctor came in that afternoon and we spoke with the doctor. And so we went on. I'm just trying to shorten this because I do want to bring a word or two. Up we went. We stayed there for a short period of time. He had an arrangement for surgery. We came back here, turned everything around, went back again to care for him while he had the surgery and stay for as long as it took, really. And all through that time, God was just constantly saying, there's some interesting stuff written in here. He wasn't saying that. So I was just trying to find what I wrote down, so I just wanted to give you the sort of the content, really. God was just adding to what he'd started to say, do you remember? And I remembered immediately, we started to go up, and we found out Bill had this stroke, this word. So anyway, we went on the back of that word, we went up, and Claire, I don't think, particularly wanted to be, because it was a bit deja vu for her, particularly the thought of moving in with her dad, and moving back into the family home that she hadn't been in for a lot of years. And so that was quite hard for her. It wasn't so hard for me because I hadn't lived in it for a number of years. Neither had I lived in the vicinity or known the people in the local church there or anything like that. But anyway, we just trusted God to keep speaking. And one particular Sunday, it must have been a Sunday, we were out walking the dog and we were talking about Abraham's call. You know, God just, remember Abraham's call? God said to him, leave everything behind and go. And he didn't. He took everything with him and went, you know. And we were just talking about that, and we were talking about what to leave behind, and I was saying in my mind, as you do sometimes, and I think I was probably starting to voice it to Claire, well, if we come up here, then this has got to change, and that has got to change. And I suddenly got this whack on the wrist from the Holy Spirit, and it really was a real slap on the wrist from the Holy Spirit, and he said, why are you dictating to me what's going to be changed? He's saying, I've called you to come, and that's what you're to do. He said, there'll be grace for the change that is needed. I thought, oh, man, so I repented, and I shared it with Claire. And I think that actually helped you, didn't it? It helped you sort of come to terms a bit more with what God was saying, because she wasn't sure that God was saying it, because he hadn't really sort of confirmed anything to her. Anyway, that particular night, the interesting thing was, that night, the church, the local church, the Church of Scotland church that we go to in the local village, because that's where her dad goes, they had a sort of prayer meeting, Bible study type of thing. And the minister there was, what was he sharing on? He was sharing on hearing God and how to receive revelation. And what was he talking about? Abraham's call from God. We thought, this is good, this is good, this is good. And so we both looked at each other. And then he threw out, he was asking people to find various references, as you do when you're in that sort of thing, and read them out. And he threw out a reference from Genesis 34:10, which I will read you because it's quite an amazing scripture. Claire picked up on this, I didn't, because I was actually looking for what I thought he was after. As you do, you know, when you're a sort of church leader, you sort of think, hang on, I know where he's going here. And I didn't. I had the wrong reference. But the reference he read out, and it was quite a mistake, and he moved on from it, was this, Genesis 34:10. You shall dwell with us. The country will be open to you. Live and trade and get your possessions in it. I thought, my goodness. Now, Claire reminded me of this when we got home. She said, did you see what that word was? I said, no. Then she read it. I thought, my goodness, well, that could mean anything. I thought, you know, what does that mean? And I thought, well, I'd ask God for a word. I said, Lord, I need something out of the word. I just want to go on what I sense and what I sense you're saying. I want some confirmation from the word about this. So there was that scripture. Out of nowhere, it was a wrong reference for that meeting, but it was a right one for us. So I thought, okay, Lord, thank you very much. And there it was. So that really sort of settled it. We shared, obviously, with the minister and his wife up there, who he's about to retire, by the way. Not that I'm looking for a job, I'm not. but he is about to retire. He's a man and his wife. They're a spirit-filled couple. They have a real passion to see God move in revival. He's a tremendous teacher of the word, and he's sown and sown and sown the word into this church. I mean, Claire will say it's changed out of all recognition to what it was like when she was there. It's moved on, isn't it? Really. It's a long way to go. It's nothing near where this church, where God has taken this church to, but with what God has sown in us, by the grace of God, as and where we can be used, he will sow, and we seek to go there and sow what God has sown into us here, particularly in this last 3 years. God has sown so much into us here in this place. So really, that's the long and the short of it. There is another little story about the car. You can ask me about that. That's another issue. That happened last weekend, of course. Abraham tried to do it his way, didn't he? So yours truly tried to get on with changing the car his way, but I'm not going to go into that now. You can ask me about it. It's a lesson to hear, and it's something to learn too. God can even block your credit card, so watch it, okay? Suddenly a working credit card doesn't. That was the long and the short of the story. So, right. The other thing I found was, although this is a small congregation-ish, not this one, the place we're going, of two churches that have come together, two churches, Scotland churches together, there is a sense of being at home in it. And you know when you go to a place, You can go to a church, and maybe that some of you this morning are visiting here. It's good. It's great to be here. You've enjoyed the worship. You'll enjoy the ministry of the word. You'll enjoy meeting with God. But then you'll go back home to the place that is home to you spiritually. Sometimes, you know, you go into a place like that. God takes you there. You need to hear something from God. So he takes you somewhere else. You hear it. You receive it. You go back with it. And you sow it into the place you're in. And you walk it out. But this place, I mean, this is home too. But this is a home we're about to leave. But this place up there, for all its smallness, for all its sort of lack of get up and go in that sense, it's an older congregation than this. I see this one's getting rapidly younger. And that's Pastor Paul's prayer. But the age group will come down. So us leaving it will bring it down a little bit more. Me leaving it will bring it down a little bit more. not much, slightly. Okay. So that's it, the long and the short of it. God is just amazing. The wonderful thing was, while I was there, I said, Lord, I believe you're saying this. I need to know that you've spoken to Paul about this too, and that when I get back and share it with him, that he will have heard from you too, and you've heard it. He had already heard from God. And that was a wonderful thing about it. I thought, there is no way we can go. If he was to say to me, this is wrong, you've got it totally wrong, you've missed it. That would have been difficult, because the condition I put on God was, I said, God, Claire's dad needs to invite us to come here. We're not going to ask to come here. He needs to invite us. And the closest we got to anything like that was, we shared with him that we felt that we should be coming up there to be near him. That was it. And he just said, you can come and live here. I've got this great big house, he said. Come and live here. So I thought, oh, crumbs. I could barely speak, actually. And I thought, God, you've just done everything we asked you to do. The word confirmed it. Pastor Paul confirmed it when I got back. And Bill confirmed it by actually inviting. And so, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. We shall miss you guys then. But yet, you know, in a sense, we will and we won't, because in a sense, when God moves you somewhere, you pick up what's there and you run with that, don't you? And there isn't a sense of missing, but it's a sense of excitement, because you know what's behind you, people praying, and what God has sown into you is going to come out and be released. So I want to get rid of this one and move into another one now. That's my God book. Hear from God book. Sorry? I've got another one. That's right, yeah. That's the personal one. That's the personal one. Right. Now then, this is also funny. It has to be God. I sent a text. I was in Psalm 1 last weekend, amidst the car activity. But as I say, ask us again about that story. I'm not going to tell it now. It'll waste time. And I just sent a verse out of Psalm 1 to Pastor Paul. And he obviously felt, hang on, God's obviously saying something here. He then texts me back later in the day to say he'd preach from Psalm 1. I thought, that's interesting, because I'm still running with that, and I am absolutely certain I've got to do it again. So you're going to get it again this week. So those of you who weren't here, you'll get something. Those of you who were here, perhaps you missed what was being said last week, and God is reminding you again of what it was he said to you. So either way, it will be different to last week, because God will have something out of it that perhaps wasn't in last week's, and vice versa. Obviously, there will be things in last week's that won't be in this. So, here we go then, Psalm 1. Now, I'm reading from the Amplified version. I don't know whether Pastor Paul did that last week. Well, if he did, that's great. Now then, it starts off like this. First verse. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. That is an awesome start, isn't it? Blessed. That's you. Happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. People envy you because of what you have in God. You know, if people aren't envying us, then maybe we need to ask ourselves, hang on a minute, am I a bit lacking here in my walk with God? You know, this is a real sort of like an MOT, this psalm, I think. It's a personal MOT. So the first thing is, this person, this man who is blessed, he walks. And because he walks, he's blessed. He's a man, a woman. When I say man, I do mean ladies as well. Of course I do. He's on the move with God. He's not just sort of standing around waiting for something to happen. He's not in a bless me type of mode, mindset. He's heard from God and he's going somewhere. He's doing something with what he's heard. He chooses his advisors. He doesn't walk around with the ungodly, people who aren't Christ-centered. He chooses where he gets his advice and his godly wisdom from. The world has wisdom, of course it does, but it doesn't have godly wisdom, unless it's like, you know, Balaam. Maybe you get those odd situations where you get a Balaam, but it's not often that happens. He chooses who his advisors are going to be. He makes right choices for his feet. So it says, nor stands in the path where sinners walk. So he looks at where he's walking. He looks at where his feet are taking him. He looks at the path he's going on. And he chooses carefully where he walks. You know, it says in Psalm 119, doesn't it? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And it is. We always have a choice with God, don't we? You know, I can say all this stuff this morning, you can just walk outside with rubbish. Fine, I don't mind. I shall keep walking, and we'll see who's the winner at the end of the day. He chooses his friends carefully. He doesn't sit where the scornful and the mockers gather. So watch your friends. You guys who've just come back to uni, and perhaps you're just starting uni, there may be some of you just starting uni coming here. Watch your friends. You know, I was your age once, believe it or not. And I can remember wanting to be where the action was, or as I called it, the action, in the pub, in the nightclubs, and all that sort of thing. And you know, I tried it, and it just did not work. It nearly killed me. It was awful. I couldn't stand the noise and discos. I couldn't stand getting drunk. I tried it. Because God had his hand on my life even then, before I knew him. You see? I mean, you go ahead. You try it if you want to. But I'm saying now, what will happen is, you'll come to a place where you think, this is just a waste of time. It's rubbish. I don't want to do this. There's something better I can do with my life. Something much, much better. There's people here saying amen because they've tried it as well, you see. And they know it doesn't work. And there's something better. His name's Jesus. Okay, let's have a look at verse 2 then. His delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he habitually, it says in the Amplified, meditates. You think, oh, isn't that boring? Habitually meditating, reading the Bible. Boring. Now, I thought it was great what Eileen got up and said today. You know, we need to be a people who are in the Word more than ever now. Because of what God is doing in this church, if we don't personally balance out times of worship and meeting with God with the Word of God, the wind is going to blow and the tree is going to fall over. You know, certain types of tree, Claire, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think like big firs and things like that, often don't have a tap root. They just spread their roots. So when the wind comes, it just blows it over. And this magnificent tree suddenly crashes to the ground. We can be like that. So God is saying to us, make me your delight and desire. Because when he is our delight and desire, this word is a joy to read, isn't it? It's a joy and it's easy to read it. It makes sense. When he isn't, then it's hard work. It's boring. Yes, I'd agree. It is boring if we're not listening and walking with God. And it goes on to say, he habitually meditates, so not just a once-off, but take a bit of time out. Now, busy church, I'm not going to ask anyone to put hands up, might embarrass you, but busy church, this church, because it's going somewhere. There's a lot happening, there's life, the cauldron's constantly bubbling, you know, it's on the go. Never turn the heat off, because God has always got the heat on in this church, and he's always causing fresh things to rise up, come to the surface. We need to be habitually in the Word, not once a week, just coming Sunday thinking, Sunday will do me. I'll meet with God in the worship. I'll hear a great word from somebody, Pastor Paul, Brian, Chris, whoever at the front. I'll hear a great word, and then there I am for the week. Sorry, no chance. By Monday, you'll be starting to do this. By Tuesday, you'll be doing that. By Wednesday, you'll be doing that. Why? Because we need that one-on-one walk with the Lord. It says, blessed is the man who walks and lives, not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I need God, you need God individually. You guys at uni, individually, you need God. Yes, you need each other to encourage each other, but you need that time with God. You know, I know studies and stuff can get in the way and it pushes it out. Don't be condemned by that. But try and make sure somewhere in the day you get some time with Jesus. Shut out everybody else. Turn off the phone, whatever. Go somewhere, even go for a drive in your car if you've got one, to find a quiet place where you can get away from everything and everybody. Spend some time with Jesus. Just chew on this word. And the more you chew, the more flavor comes out. It really does. Okay, so God is his goal. He doesn't allow anything to get in the way. He's made his choices. We've seen that. Where he walks, who his friends are, who his advisors are. Nothing's going to stop him moving forwards. Okay? He wants to please the Lord. He's a man who's made his decisions. He's chosen his path in life. He's going forwards. So, what's happening to him? The word is getting into him and he is getting into the word. And the Word of God, when it comes into us, because the Spirit of God is in you, if you know the Lord, the two come together, and what comes out? Life. Life. You know, the life of Jesus starts just flowing out, touching people, touching situations, changing things, transforming things. You may say, oh, I don't feel like that this morning, Pastor Martin. Doesn't matter what you feel like. If what is going into you is good, what is coming out of you will be good. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if there's rubbish going in, rubbish will come out. But if there's good stuff going in, good stuff's going to come out. You know, it doesn't matter what your age is, where you think you are today. God is saying, I'll put good stuff into you, if you let me. I'll feed you. I want to feed you. I want to give you good stuff. I think, well, I've heard all this before. Listen to it again then. God is saying the same thing. I'm sure you heard some of this last week. I'm certain of it. And some of you just thought, yeah, another good word from Pastor Paul. It's always a good word because he listens to God. As long as we listen to God, it will always be a good word. Okay, verse 3 then. So what's the outcome of all this? If you do this, God is saying there's going to be an outcome. This is what you're going to be like. You're going to be like a tree that is firmly planted, says in the Amplified. Not a wispy thing that's going to blow over in the first gale or first bit of pressure or something that somebody's going to see and just pull up and throw it away because it doesn't fit. You're going to be like a tree that is firmly planted and tended, it says in the Amplified, by the streams of water. And it's a tree that is ready to be fruitful. Because it's by water, it's by a source of life. Trees that grow in dry ground tend to grow up very dry and barren looking. Claire's dad has got a tree called a white bean in his garden. And the ground, the actual soil ground there is quite shallow, isn't it? There isn't any soil. So there you go, you see. So this tree is almost completely dead. He's had to chop a load of it down. I think there's about two branches on it that actually produce any leaves now. But this beautiful tree is just a sort of shriveled up mess. And it's dead because it isn't near a source of water and ground that is good for it. And that's where God wants us to be, in a source of place where there's a source of life. And that's what this stream is. You know, this stream of God that is in God's presence. We've been in this morning. We're in it now. I mean, I'm not for one about talking about splashing in the river. I'm not talking about that. But putting our roots down into God because he is the source of life. He is the source of that river. So he's firmly planted. The roots are getting spread out to be a solid, unmovable tree. He's getting ready to be fruitful because of what he's taking in. It's going to make him fruitful, it says, in season. And he's thriving from this life. You and I thrive when we're putting our roots down into God. You know, life comes up. Those bad times, the rough times, the difficult times, the opposition that we get, the pressure that comes, and it often does. We stand against it. We can stand against it. You know, Pastor Paul and Kate have stood against amazing pressure, and they're standing. They're not buckled underneath it. They're standing because their life is in the roots, have gone down deep. Over the years, God has put something awesome into them that makes them unmovable. They might feel physically rough and tired, but in their spirit, nothing is going to break what God has said to them and what God has done in them. You see? And we stand with that. That's the faith we stand in too, with them. Absolutely. Okay, have a look at Jeremiah 17:8, because he adds a little bit to this. I remembered that this was also in Jeremiah. He quotes a little bit from it. So it must have been written around before he came around. He says here, verse 8, He shall be, it's a promise, he shall be, not might be, hopefully, one day, he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes. How many of us, when we see a difficult situation coming up, crumble, and we go to bits inside, and we're looking for the first Christian to get on the phone to, or the first person to come and pray for us and get zapped? That isn't God's way. It's good to pray with other people. Of course it is. It's great to get zapped. But what God is looking for is for you to grow up and me to grow up, to put our life and our trust deep down into him and in this book that he's given us for instruction and for life, and let him change us inside. Because the world is looking at us. We are God's showpiece. The world actually looks at us. They look and say, well, is this real? I know there's folk in here this morning who are looking at this church, say, how consistent is this? How real are these people? Is what they believe there in all situations? Do I really want to entrust myself to this sort of way of living? Just trying to point out what God says about all this. So, don't shrivel when the heat comes. You see it when it comes. Don't be fearful. But the leaf shall be green. Your leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought. So even when there's no goodness going into it, because of what's been put in it, it survives. You see? Now this church is a church of people who more than survive. They're there. They're fruitful in a year of drought. There'll be years of drought in a church. There are in church life. There are times when God is dealing with the church, dealing with the people, dealing with the leadership, and then downwards he has to deal with the church. And often, sometimes you see in a church, numbers go up, numbers go down. You think, well, why is that? Usually because God is dealing with issues. And there's a core number of people he knows he needs to deal with to sort that stuff out before he can bring others in to get hold of the life that's been imparted to the ones he's dealt with. If that makes sense. Okay. And nor, it says, shall it cease yielding fruit. So that's what we're called to be, a people who are fruitful even when there is nothing to feed on. Because of what's been put in there already, because of what we've put in there, what we've chosen to put in there, that we've set our goals, we've set our objectives, we're listening to the right people, we're making right choices for our feet. We're choosing our friends. When things are difficult in the year, when it's empty, in that barren wilderness place, we continue to bear forth fruit. That's what God is after. That's what God is saying to us. He prospers in all seasons. He is a man who prospers in everything he does, it says. He will prosper in everything. Do I expect that? If I'm really honest with you, I forget sometimes that God expects me to prosper, not because of what I do or who I am, but because, it is because of who I am, because I'm a son of God, but because of what he's put in me. That's why we can expect to prosper. That's not arrogant. That's God's promise. Because I have chosen, you have chosen, to dig down deep into God and say, God, whatever you do, I'm going to walk in blessing. Whatever you do to me, I'm choosing your ways. Whatever it takes, I'm going to follow you because you are just worth following. And he is. There's times I've thought, oh, stuff it. And I'm sure, if we're honest, all of us have said that at times, stuff it. I can't take any more. But then you don't, because there is one who lives in you who has already overcome. We've sung about him this morning. One who is victorious, who's raised you to sit in the heavenly places with him, with all authority and power in you, with all authority and power coming through you into every situation you and I confront. Nothing is impossible. We can go through everything because God says so. Invincible is the word I'm looking for. God has made you and me invincible. We might not feel it. Everything might be sort of cracking emotionally. We might be quaking. But the Spirit of God says, you can go through because I have already determined it. You know, we're a people who possess. The man who is a man of after God's own heart, really, this is what this man is. He is a man, a woman who will possess everything God has promised. This is a church of possessors. It really is a church of possessors. Are you a possessor? Turn to the person next to them and say to you, you are a possessor. Oh my goodness. Does anybody believe that in here? Would you like to try it again and sound a little more convincing from where I'm standing? That's right. Okay. Right, you say, well, this, talking about the law here, this is Old Testament. Yes, interesting. Eileen referred to Old Testament, wasn't it? Because all the way through the Old Testament, which isn't irrelevant, you will find, and here is evidence of it, the grace and the mercy of God to walk like this. We cannot walk just by trying to get it right. It doesn't work. How many people here still keep trying? Yeah, right. All of us. Because that's our nature. Our natural nature is to try to do something we're asked to do. But it doesn't actually work. There's a right sense of movement saying, God, I can't do this, but I'm stepping forwards. There's not the movement that says, God, I can't do this, so I'm going to wait till you come and boot me up the backside. God doesn't do that. He says, you step, I'll be there. And we do. That's what we're doing. That's what we're about in this church. We step because God has said, I want you there. Right, Lord, we're coming, we're going. And sometimes we come kicking and screaming, don't we? If we're honest, I don't want to do that, Lord. But God says, you do it and you'll reap the reward. And we reap it. Because there's mercy to do it. There's grace to do it. You know? There's mercy to become this man the psalmist is talking about. And there's grace to enable us to walk that walk, which makes it easier. I'm not saying it makes it easy. It makes it easier because we're able to walk into what is impossible. We're able to do what we know in the natural we can't do. But grace says you can because it's me in you. That's what God's saying to some of you this morning. You've fronted up situations time and time and time again. And you've become so discouraged with it, say, God, I'm not going back that way. I'm not going to do that again because I can't do it. And God is saying to you, my grace is sufficient. It really is sufficient. If you will trust me, I'll take you. You know, God's got more trust in you and me than we have in him. That's certain because he's entrusted his word to us. Would you entrust your word to somebody who would probably abuse it, chew it up, spit it out, and forget about it? That's really what state we were in. Okay, mercy and grace to walk this walk. And without the river, our roots going down, there's certain death. Have you ever seen a petrified forest? Anybody? It looks, it's an amazing sight. It's black, firstly, and it's like tree stumps sticking up, usually out of the sea, somewhere, on a marsh or a fen. And it's quite an amazing sight. And I just had a picture of that. It's a black fossilized remain of what was. That's the man who will not put his roots deep down into God, into the word of God, into the life of God, and let that life flow out. That's how we will become. People will remember us as a fossilized remain. Oh yes, I remember that person. What happened to them? But when we put our roots down into God, that is really the ungodly way of walking and saying, I'll do it my way. The ungodly walk like that. The disobedient walk like that. But God brings it to life, doesn't he? Trust in him brings it, not the petrified forest, but brings us back to life. Let me just go to Psalm 92 in closing. A few more words to encourage you. Now, some of us in the Christian life plod. Others run. It's a bit like the hare and the tortoise sometimes, isn't it? We all arrive at the same time. God actually gets us there. Our journey might not be quite the same. In fact, it isn't. Your journey won't be the same as mine. But we're going to the same goal. We're going to the same goal. So it doesn't actually matter how we get there, as long as we get there. That's the challenge. Psalm 92, from verse 12. The uncompromisingly righteous, that's the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's made his choice. He shall flourish like the palm tree, stately, useful, upright, and fruitful. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. This is the church, guys. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Come on, those of you who are getting there a bit. They shall be full of sap and vitality and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. They are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So, some questions for you before we stop. We need to stop. I had to look at what I was doing to find this word, to come back to this place. A lot of stuff, a lot of activity, all good things. But I came to a place and God was saying to me, you've become too complicated in your relationship with me. Get back to being simple. Get back to being simple. And as I started to get back to being simple, I said, Jesus, it just needs to be you and me. It's not about church. It's not about stuff in the church. It's not about stuff that I do in the church, for churches together, whatever it is. He just said, it's about you and me at the end of the day. So God actually showed me things that needed to be laid down. And I thought, well, there's nothing much left, really. And he said, no, precisely, that's what I want. I just want you and me. And I thought, thank you, Lord, that's good. And that was where this journey for me, for Claire and myself, started to flow out of me again, because God was able to speak in to a mind and a heart that was just cluttered with doing stuff. Okay, so be fruitful. Multiply. Multiply. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.